Why don't you tell us how you got your start as a musician?
Yeah, sure. I sort of formed a band when I was about 16, which is when I started to learn to play guitar. And we sort of learned as we went along, and then that lasted until we went to university, and we all kind of disbanded. And then I started doing this weird electronic thing with the guitarist from that band, and we never really worked out how to play any of it live, so we ended up just making this weird disco record that nobody's heard. And then I thought, excuse me, it would actually be easier to just kind of do this by myself. You know, there's nothing that complicated that I have to play live. I don't have to organize five other people to, you know, every time I want to practice or play live. And I hadn't really done anything for a couple of years, and I guess I just kind of felt like I had something to say. I felt like I was writing songs that were worth putting out. But I don't have, you know, there was no like flash of inspiration to get started in music.
Now,
All the guitarists I liked looked cool. I think that's what it was.
I know. I'm a guitarist myself, so I know exactly what you mean. So, well, how did you go from, electronic or disco to, I guess I would classify you as alt folk now?
Okay, yeah. Actually, it wasn't that different. I've always been in any project I'm doing, I've written the song first and then kind of molded it to the style that we would operate in at the time. So if you go back and like, I have demos of all the electronic stuff that is just me and an acoustic guitar. So it wasn't that much of a leap. It was just kind of getting rid of all of the ephemera and all of the stuff that, all of the stylistic stuff. And trying to present them as just songs was what interested me the most, I think.
I can see that. I mean, music. Do you think switching genres like that is actually that hard? Because on the surface, listening to "I Welcome the Flood" versus, I haven't heard your disco era stuff, but I'm assuming it's 180 degrees away from "I Welcome the
Yeah.
Flood." I mean, but is it really that hard for a musician, in your opinion, to switch genres such in such a dramatic way like that?
I actually find it harder to like contain myself within whatever genre I'm kind of choosing to do. The main difference between like this and the disco album is that you can't really dance to this one. And if you could, it would be a very slow and sad dance, I think.
Well, this.
I've
Oh, go
sorry,
ahead.
go on.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I think like whenever I am recording, I always end up putting like something that is just not necessary to the song on there that I end up getting rid of at a later date. So I actually find it harder to be kind of constrained by like you said, like alt folk.
Definitely. I mean, definitely. And I heard "I Welcome the Flood," late last week, and it's a very contemplative album, to say the least. It seems like you've done a lot of reflection while you were in the songwriting process. What are some of the inspirations for these tracks? Because they seem very personal.
Yeah, I think I'm just like terrible at vocalizing anything that I might be feeling. So I improvise a lot of my lyrics when I'll come up with a chord sequence that I like, and then I'll just kind of improvise some lyrics over the top of them, and more often than not, those are the ones that stick. So it's whatever's going through my head at the moment, but there's some stuff that I definitely can attribute to. Well, like the title track, for instance, is about kind of finding yourself in a position where dissatisfaction meets apathy. So like this idea of not being happy with anything that is surrounding you, but also being like, also not kind of being in a place where you can care enough to do anything about it, and what I'm wanting it to be kind of just washed away so you can start again, which I think everyone's experienced at some point. I don't think I'm treading particularly like new ground. I wouldn't necessarily call them personal, but then everybody's been telling me, oh, this sounds really personal. But I think what they're saying is, sounds really sad.
Yeah, usually the two can be confused. I mean, people, you know, like usually interpret some, you know, sorrow and sadness with introspection.
Yeah, are you familiar with Sun Kil Moon? And his album, Benji, everyone says, like you can confuse those. It is obviously a very, very personal album, but everyone says it's sad. And I think that album's really funny, like, in places. It is obviously very personal, but I think he does it with a lot of humor. And so I think you're right. I think those two things get confused a lot. So I've written a very sad EP, but I wouldn't necessarily say that it's all that personal.
Do you think maybe it's more social commentary then, or?
I honestly don't know. I think the first track, Hunted, is probably, it has a degree of social commentary in it. But I guess, I suppose if you have like the polar opposites are personal and social commentary, then I guess it leans more towards the personal than it does anything else. But that's because I think I just enjoy writing from my point of view. I don't do like a lot of character work or anything like that.
Now, if you could pick a personal favorite on I Welcome the Flood, what would it be and why?
Probably at the moment, it would probably be the last track, All It Ever Was. I think it's probably the prettiest. It is, that is probably the most personal one on there. I think you can hear me dealing with something, but it's also the newest, so I'm not bored of it yet. Because Pace Car Driver and I Welcome the Flood, I wrote both of those songs live, and I've been performing them for the last 6 months, so I'm kind of a little bored of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and All It Ever Was actually sounds like it was recorded live, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, that's another case of me, like, I played live so much last year that all of the tracks are kind of lying around on my laptop. So I had that chord sequence, and I had another chord sequence recorded, and they happened to fit together. So I just kind of stuck them over the top, and then I really quickly wrote some lyrics to it and stuck them over the top. But yeah, no, that's good if it does sound live, because that's certainly the intention, I think.
That's called the Eureka moment, or that's what I call it anyway when I write something. When I have two pieces that you never thought would be together, and then they just, you know, you just realize one day they were born to be together.
Yeah, definitely. It's really satisfying when that happens. Exactly. It means your head was in the same place when you wrote both of those parts.
Exactly. Now, my favorite track, if I can be so bold, I actually like Madison a lot.
Yeah, that is cool. That one's a weird one. I couldn't for the life of me figure out any vocals or any kind of melody to go over the top of that. And I had Will, who does all the mixing and mastering for me. I said, have you got any like sort of ideas? And he said, I think it works on its own.
Yeah, and it does. It does. It does. And it's got a pristine sound to it. And like, and I don't know if it's me speaking as a fellow musician myself, but I mean, it's something that can be appreciated for what it is.
Yeah, thank you. That's really, really flattering.
So, well, in being a guitarist, I got to ask the obligatory question, you know, because we're all gearheads. What kind of gear are you using?
Well, I have a Martin guitar.
Nice.
Which is just, this is the first thing I've recorded with it. My first EP was recorded on this crappy, like, Fender that I had. So I thought, if I'm making acoustic music, I need to go out and buy a proper acoustic guitar. So I did that. But then I have like a mountain of pedals that I use when I'm playing live. So I have the Boss RC50, which is a loop pedal, which looks like a space station, and I can't quite figure out how to work it properly.
But those are fun, aren't they? When you can get a nice loop in there. Yeah,
they're so good. And then I've got a pedal that makes it sound like I've got 50s tape delay. I've got a Boss reverb pedal. I've got the Pog 2, you know,
I've got one of those, Line 6.
Yeah, they're great.
I love them. They're
fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then I've got this weird pedal, this boutique pedal I picked up from Earthquaker Devices called the Afterneath. And it's like a reverb pedal that uses tap delay to make reverb.
Nice.
It's fascinating. It gives you like quite a unique sound, I think.
Now, is it harder to run effects in a chain on an acoustic guitar? Because I just remember all the times I did it. I got an electric acoustic, a Taylor, and tried it. But I used my electric guitar effects, and it did not sound good at all. I just remember all the feedback and everything else.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. It definitely takes some tweaking, but I think that's sort of what I like about it, is that it sounds a bit wonky, you know?
Exactly. Now, how would you describe your sound as a guitarist? Because I, like, one thing I did notice, and tell me your opinion on this as well, because when I hear an acoustic guitar, I like that deep, bright, I don't know how else to put it, but new string sound. Right. You know, like, the worst sound in the world to me is an acoustic guitar with dead strings.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just sounds so gnarly, and there's nothing in the studio that can fix it. You know, so, like, you know, how do you get that sound? Because you really hit that sound home. And I mean, I can tell that you're a finger player more than a pick player.
Yeah.
And you're still able to achieve that.
New strings.
So you go in there, and you, like, every time you go in there, it's a brand new set of strings.
No. I honestly don't know. I think you can't go wrong with the Martin guitars. I think they're going to sound good no matter how you play them. I think that sound in particular does just come from the guitar, because honestly, it's not something that I think about that much. I think this might be the first time I've ever considered my guitar sound. But I have a fairly decent microphone that seems to pick up everything. And then I have to credit Will Bowles, who does all my mixing and everything. He really brings out, like, the best of everything that I've recorded. It's probably down to him more than it is down to me, I think.
Now, when you mic your guitar, do you use an external mic, or is it an electric acoustic, or are you using a pickup in the hole?
I use I have an electric. It's an electroacoustic, so it's got I think it's a Fishman in it, and I use an external mic as well, just a condenser, and I mic it really close, so that you can, like, hear my fingers hitting the strings. But I tend to also plug it in at the same time on the same take, so that I've got. There's something I really like about an electroacoustic guitar. It sounds kind of fake. So I like to mix that in a little bit with the roomier kind of sound of the external microphone.
So you kind of mix the tracks then on that.
Yeah.
With the dry and then the external.
Yeah.
Nice. That actually kind of explains your sound in a bit, because you actually can hear your fingers rubbing the strings too.
Yeah, you get that. You get all the little details. You can hear me breathing on some of the takes, and I think that adds to like you were saying, like the personal nature of it is that the microphone is really, really close to me, so it's inherently personal. But then also, I guess that's how I get some of the brightness, is I get to use the take that's being recorded from inside the guitar, and that's always going to give you like a brighter kind of sound, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it actually, that, I don't know, but in my opinion, that also gives folk recordings in general kind of their personality, that it literally is like a person, a guitar in the studio with a mic, and it, you know, it's not layered tracks and thought out and everything else. It, you know, it gives it a real organic feel.
Yeah, I agree. I try to like do as much live as possible. Like Madison is pretty heavily looped, but everything else is usually one take all the way through on a guitar. To the degree where I think there's even some mistakes on it, because I think some of my favorite records have all had like where you can hear that it's a performance. You hear a little bum note, or it's not mic'd quite properly, or something like that.
Or something was fretted wrong, or something. You get that buzz real quick, but it exactly. works out. But well, that brings me to my next question. You know, like I said, I'm a guitarist, but I come from the band setting, where I have a drummer and a bass player and a singer and so on and so forth. So I didn't realize this until I reviewed your album, that, you know, I've been kind of fortunate in the fact that when I go lay my guitar tracks down or when I play live, I have somebody else keeping the beat for me.
Right.
You know, you see what I'm saying? So, but with you, you're the timekeeper, and you're also the musician, and you're also the presenter.
Yeah.
So how much more difficult is that? Because to me, that actually would be almost impossible unless I practice.
Well, I'm a little bit of a control freak, so I like having sort of that control over all aspects of it, but I'm also, it's like I was saying earlier, like when you can hear a mistake on a record, I like that. So I'm not necessarily that fussed if everything is perfectly in time with each other. Like as long as the track kind of feels right, I think you've kind of done your job. Madison was a little bit more difficult because it's all loops. So I spent a lot of time kind of lining everything up with the drum track. But other than that, I think it was about capturing a performance rather than trying to get everything perfect, if you see what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying there, too. And then that, you know, and then that is, you know, is almost as responsible, in my opinion, of the organicness of how the album turned out.
Oh, thank you. It is something I think about, because there are some more like ambient kind of effects and everything on the record, and I always try and balance them with like you say, like organic stuff. So actually, especially on this EP, there's no electronic stuff at all, really. There's no MIDI apart from the drums. There's no real MIDI stuff. Well, there was on the first EP. I used some keyboards and stuff like that, but on this one, everything's through an amp or a microphone.
Now, the album comes out February 15th. Have you gotten any feedback yet? I know, like I said, I know it's not released yet, but from the people that have heard it, what kind of feedback have you been getting?
Mostly positive. I haven't shown it to anyone that I know. I've only given it to, you know, like people like yourself, like blogs and magazines and radio stations and stuff like that. The reaction to this one seems to be a lot more positive than the first one. So I think I've done something right, because obviously my intention was to make something better than the first one. but it seems to be going good. I'm going to be having some radio play coming up. I think I'm going to be single of the week in Italy somewhere. I found out today. Yeah, which is great, because I mean, 20 years ago, that I would wouldn't have been able to get anywhere.
Nice, nice. Now, what have you got coming up? I mean, are you planning on touring behind this or?
Yeah, I've got a tour, and I'm having like a little EP launch party here in Brighton. That's on the 13th. That'll be a lot of fun. I think we're just about to sell that out. And then I'm spending a week going off around the country. I think it's just like 6 or 7 dates, and the rest of the year doing what I did in the latter half of last year, which is just driving around the country, playing to anybody who will let me play.
Nice. Now, what's it like knowing your CD release party is on the verge of selling out?
It's absolutely ridiculous. I hadn't actually even considered that would happen. I think a lot of it is down to the fact that we've got some other like great people playing that night. We've got Cat Sinclair and one of the guys from Submariner coming down to do an acoustic performance. It's going to be really good.
Now, from one guitarist to another, that's a new string night.
That's a new string night, yeah. Yeah. Although I'm probably going to put them on like a week before, you know, play them in.
Let them stretch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's, I know what will happen. I'm going to end up tuning in between every song otherwise.
Yeah, because that's the one they sound the best too, when they just get that broken feeling. But
it's, you know, it's, I'm gonna get a haircut and restring my guitar on the same day.
Because you know what I'm talking about. Like every awesome night I thought we were going to have, it was like 3 songs into it and then ding. You know.
Yeah, then you spend the next 10 minutes trying to find the string.
Yep.
And then restringing the thing. Yeah, no, yep. I'm gonna be making sure that's not gonna happen.
And with me, it always happens on my Strat, which is even worse because then it's on a tremolo bridge, and it's like that knocks all the other strings out.
Yeah,
you know. That's, that's exactly. So, where can we find you online?
Well, you can go to my website, which is adamscottglasspool.com, or I'm obviously on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Bandcamp and SoundCloud and all those things. I think if you just Google Adam Scott Glasspool, I think I'm the only one of me that comes up.
Well, you definitely are the only one of you, because I love I Welcome the Flood. It's a great album. It's solid, and it does to me seem very personal. It's just
thank you very much.
It, you know, well done, just well done. I mean, and it is mixed well. Will did a fine job as well.
Oh, he did. He did an amazing job.
So, So thanks. Well, thank you for being on the show today, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.